Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of American Criminal. In our latest season, the child of Italian immigrants sets out to achieve the American dream. And if he has to spill some blood along the way, so be it. Listen to American Criminal, Al Capone, wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get ad-free access to the entire season first, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Welcome to the OC Bitches.
Welcome to the OC Bitches.
Season 2, episode 15, The Mallpisode.
The Mallpisode. Has that word, had it ever been created before this?
I don't see a reason why it would have.
No. AKA the Beckisode.
Yep. Beck, the artist. Music artist.
We got lucky. I guess he was premiering an album was released on March 29th. The show aired on March 10th. So this music was five new songs of his plus one other song. Yeah. We'll get into that.
Yes, we will.
Some iconic stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everyone, this week, our guest is the lovely and talented Carla Stevens Flanagan. She was our costume designer for season 2. Her other credits include State of Georgia, The Neighbors, and currently she's on Bob Hart's Abishola on CBS and Call Me Cat on Fox, and recently finished an 8-year run on Mom on CBS with Allison Janney and Anna Faris. She's taken time out of her very busy schedule to be here today. Thank you so much and welcome, Carla.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's so nice to see you. It's been so long.
It's been a long time, but it doesn't feel like it's been that long until you say the years out loud. How long ago it was, then it feels like a long time ago.
Right. But yeah, we're just so happy to have you here with us. And, you know, a lot of this show, it focuses on fashion. And the show is known for its looks and style. And I'd say Marissa in particular. Well, I guess everybody in their own right.
Carla and I had a huge amount of fun in this season.
And we did.
We spent a lot of... There was so much about my character that was really motivated by the clothing.
Yeah.
And we put a lot of... In fact, there's an outfit in this episode that was planned, like pre-planned for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to get to it.
Yeah. I guess. But so listen, what we love is exploring each different, you know... job title in this industry. We found that it's really fun for the listeners to understand, like, how does one become a costume designer?
So I have a kind of a long history with that. I went to the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City. I loved going to school in New York City. I was Donna Karan's, one of her first interns in publicity. So that is what kind of gave me the whole what got me into fashion, because stylists would come in and I would sign out as one of my jobs, sign out the clothing to the stylists. And in those days, that was the early 90s, styling had just begun. I worked, and that's what got me into this whole business. I started working for stylists. I ended up leaving school at that time and working for stylists in New York City. Ultimately, it brought me to Los Angeles, and then I got into costume design. So that's kind of how my career started, which was great for the OC because I really knew couture and fashion houses and it was part of my job to be in touch with them all the time. So when it came to doing the OC, which was obviously many years after, it was really fun to kind of go back to that and be in touch with all the different couture houses because that was a big part of our show. But also mixing and matching just regular clothing and knowing how to do that and creating such great characters in all of you, because all of you were so different. So, and I came in season 2. I was there for, you know, half a season 1 and ended up taking over for season 2. So I had a great base to work from. And I just kind of went from there with all of you and kind of did my own twist and grew with the show, I think, too.
So, and you bring up an interesting point, because I feel like back when we were doing the OC, the whole era of celebrity and stylists and all of that was kind of just starting.
It hadn't happened yet.
Right.
Yeah. You guys were a big like, that was a big thing for the OC and all of the cast, the amount of publicity that you started to gain, A, for just it being such a fantastic show. And I mean, I'm a beach girl. I grew up in New England on the coast. And so coming to LA was huge. And I always love coastal shows. So that's why I think loved coming onto the show as well. But you guys were kind of the start of all of that with the press and the branding and branding yourselves outside of work and also having that done within the show and branding the show, which was a whole new thing for me as well, designing a line of clothing for the OC that came out of it. So there is a lot that came out of this show that was pretty amazing and timely of that time. You know, it's really cool.
You designed a line of clothing. I remember there was the whole website and you had a whole fashion corner.
I know there's a whole other life outside of this, but we did the OC Insider and I had a little column. And I think I always started it like, hello fans and fashionistas. And I do like a little column every month or whatever it was at the time. But Warner Brothers approached me about doing a line of clothing based on the OC. And I was so excited because I had previously worked with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen for years and assisted their designer in starting their line of clothing. So I understood how to
Which one was it? Was it Elizabeth and James or was it Thoreau?
It was their very first.
Oh, the first.
The very first one, they were like 16.
Got it.
We used to shop adult clothing for them and cut it down to their sizes. And that gave Judy the idea to start a line of clothing that, you know, is appropriate for teenagers that was still very fashion forward. So when Warner Brothers approached me about that, it just felt like a natural thing. Although it was a little different than what I'd expected. I was going to take the actual clothing from the show that we had and produce it. But they worked with a company and then I just went in and collaborated with them and said, okay, I think this piece would work. This would work. I was kind of hoping it would be what you guys were actually wearing in an affordable, you know, form, but it was a little bit different, but still fun.
Yeah.
And really
what
cool.
What was it called?
I don't even remember at the time. I don't even remember that.
Well, how long did it last?
I left after season two, so I'm not
don't
sure
know.
What yeah. happened.
With the clothing
you
line.
Buy
I, you know what? I want to say Necessary Objects, maybe that was a company.
Somebody out there knows.
So somebody out there knows.
You could buy it on the website.
I think
you could buy it on the website.
I think it was part of the whole merchandising and branding aspect of the show.
But I have a question about, you know, it's changed so much from 2003, 2004 till now.
Yeah.
Even the way people give clothes and stylists and all that.
Like, sure.
We could just borrow pretty much anything. It's a slightly different now. A little bit, isn't it?
As far as stylists and borrowing clothes goes?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't gone out in 2 years. So I'm like, I don't know. But, you know, Nicole Chavez, who was the costumer on the show.
She was
your set costumer and she dressed all of us and we've had her on.
Yeah.
She left the show to style and she asked me if I would be her first. She was like, I want to be a stylist. Like, can you be my first client?
Remember, and I loved that because I knew that she was amazing. Her sense of style is, it's just beautiful. It's amazing. She always personally had such a good sense of style. And I remember I was really, really happy that was the direction that she took. But she's a great one to talk because styling and costume design are so different.
Right.
And it's, you know, styling is for you personally in your real life and your personal image and costume design obviously is character driven. But that was also the thing about the OC. It did cross over a bit because we are such a fashion forward show. So we got to see pieces that came from Chanel and houses like that weren't necessarily out there in the stores yet.
Was there a deal with, do you remember, were there any deals with these big houses like Chanel or something with Misha or certain, how they were gifting or borrowing clothes for the show? Do you remember?
I do. I remember at the time it was incredibly overwhelming because Misha came in with Chanel, which was huge. So you're not going to get better than a deal with Chanel because of her personal relationship with them. They would send us clothing for the show. It wasn't always available, like what we'd see, or they'd send line sheets because samples were kind of sent out all the time. But that's what I was saying was great because then I just started calling some of the other fashion houses that I had connections with to bring stuff into the show. But what started to happen is that then everyone wanted to be on the OC. So we had to hire an additional production assistant just to manage the influx of what was being sent to us, filtering through, because I really wanted to be fair. If there's a young designer that I would love to promote, I'd love to be able to do that. But we also got every designer under the sun sending us stuff, and it got really, really overwhelming. But yeah, we definitely had, I mean, I don't think, nothing was ever anything in writing. It was just Misha had that relationship, and then the OC started to gain the attention. So we were lucky enough. For me, I was lucky enough in season two to really utilize that to a great degree. It was really fun.
Were some of the purses were real, a lot of them?
Yeah, most of them were real. Yeah. Yeah.
Was there a point where Fox said, oh no, they'd have to pay to be on the show?
I don't know that personally, but that would not surprise me because, again, once that became a big thing, like I remember doing independent features way back in the day, and we'd beg people to lend us clothing to give them screen credit. And then that all shifted. And then when the studios realized, oh, we can actually make money doing this, from wardrobe, from Chanel, from Cars, for example, that was another big thing, to put them on screen. Now the companies would pay the studios in order to have their stuff on air. So that was a big shift in the 90s too.
I feel like I remember that. Yeah, I feel like we kind of got away with the brands in the beginning, and that at some point Fox went,
there must have been. Yeah. I don't think it was with when I was there, because I never remember, like in this day and age, and I work on a Fox show now, not one single logo can be shown on anything. Yeah. And if it's even remotely like that, it's recognizable, it's pulled. So, but at that time we had freedom. I mean, you would carry Marc Jacobs bags. Coach was another big one in that day and age. I remember Coach calling me. I forgot what bag it was, but they said, oh my God, we just sold out in all the stores after Rachel Bilson carried this Coach bag, So it was fun. Getting those phone calls was really fun too, you know, when you've actually really feel like it made an impact out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite fashion moments from when you were with us in season two?
In season two, I would say, yeah, the snow sea for me, just those beautiful gowns. It was like that pale blue.
Yeah.
I think it was Marc Jacobs, if I remember. Misha in that Chanel, that kind of pretty ivory cream Chanel dress that was gorgeous. I don't know. For me, I loved everything about that show. I lived and breathed the show when I was on it. I shopped every weekend. We pulled 60 to 80 costumes weekly on that show. And for me, a lot of my memories are being in the stores and shopping locally, like at Champagne and Planet Blue out in Malibu, because most of my time was spent out shopping and then fitting you guys. So I have huge memories of Beverly Hills, Saks, Neiman's, Barney's, and getting Adam Brody's t-shirts at Barney's Co-op, every single color in his size small and medium. And I just, week after week doing that. So I have some great memories of those days.
I think that's a distinction that modern day costume design on television is a lot of shopping.
It's a lot of shopping. Yeah.
It's not old studio days where you're actually designing outfits. From time to time, you get a project where you would design something.
Sure. Yeah. Like my current shows, I'm on a Nigerian comedy, and we just did a Nigerian wedding that was all custom made. So for me, I was in my wheelhouse because we got to custom make everything. But generally with contemporary television, you're in the stores shopping for sure and fitting and then embellishing often, getting a beautiful jacket. But with you, Melinda, we used to do like brooches. We'd add brooches. Remember the days of adding the brooch to like every dress you had?
We did the episode where it's Lindsay's party about the adoption. And I was wearing this kind of, I don't know where it came from, but I put a flower in my hair and we have this purple dress. And I was like, I'm Ava Perone. But I don't know. It was like how to stimulate my brain and come up with these things that I would never naturally wear. But we would have these epic fittings where I'd go in.
Your fittings were long. I remember your
three,
fittings
4
being
hours.
Very long. Yeah.
But
yeah,
we would be set for episodes, for many, many episodes.
Yeah.
Which you have to.
Yeah, I know. And I try to do that now because back when that was really when I first started. That was my first designing job by myself. So I think that I was so meticulous and just wanted to make sure that I had, you know, plenty of costumes, and I wanted to fit you every week so I knew everything fit. Now I'm a little more lax about that for your guys' sake. So like, no one wants to come in and do a 3-hour fitting or an hour fitting on a weekly basis. It's hard work.
Yeah.
You know? It's really hard work. So I try to do that. Like I try to do 3 episodes at a time. But then I don't get to see you guys either as much. So I sometimes, out of selfish reasons, I pull you in just so I can say hi.
Right. People always ask, do we get to keep the clothes when we're on the show?
No, unfortunately, not Warner Brothers. But what I do often do, and this happens a lot with us, is people like their things. So we shop it for them and then they just reimburse us. So, right. But in terms of keeping your clothes, unfortunately, studios own everything.
Right. So it just goes to a warehouse.
Yeah. It goes like to the costume rental houses. Mm-hmm. Like Warner Brothers has a huge costume rental house. And it'll go there. And then like at a series wrap.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.
Warner Brothers will take what it wants, and then the rest will go to like It's a Wrap or one of those
right.
Like
thrift stores.
Yeah.
From time to time, they allow certain... I went away with something. I think I was nostalgic and I wore these jeans.
I was wondering
jeans.
About your jeans.
They are very OC.
They are OC.
They're
flared
habitual.
At the bottom.
Habitual. Yeah. What were those jeans? Frankie B
were the low rise.
With a low rise. Yeah. I remember one of your pairs of jeans literally had an inch zipper. They were so low waisted. Was that
Lord.
Maybe 7 of All Mankind? We did Hudson. Citizens for Humanity. Those are kind of, I think, all the jeans.
I pulled these out because they're from the OC.
So yeah, she pulls things out.
I love
that she kept from the OC. I have nothing. I don't know. I'm like, Mindy, how do you have all
these
things?
I have these. There were things that were gifted to the show. Like she was saying all these designers would give things.
Mm. Yeah.
And then she was able to go, you know, here. You know, we were given
yes.
A lot of things were just gifted to us.
I remember getting stuff sent all the time for all of you. And I'd get your sizes out and then put them in your rooms for you. Remember that too.
There was a lot of fun
like
that.
Stuff. That's nice. I missed that. What if you could use science to discover more about your body all year long? Give yourself more clarity and better understand your health and wellness with Everly Well at-home lab tests.
With over 30 tests, you'll be able to choose the ones that make the most sense for you. You just send in a simple sample, and in days, you will have the results. I took the woman's health test, and that helped me get my hormones balanced. And I just took the food sensitivity test. And I am so curious to know what I might be sensitive to.
Yeah, that's what I did because I'm convinced I can eat anything. I know that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited to get my food sensitivity results back because I think it'll be a slap in the face reality-wise. But that's okay. My body will feel better.
Absolutely. And for listeners of the show, Everly Well is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/OC.
That's everlywell.com/OC for 20% off your at-home lab test, everlywell.com/OC.
Article is the easiest way to make your space look beautiful.
Oh, and boy, do a lot of my spaces look beautiful with Article. I have their desk. I have some chairs. I'm going to now outfit my yard with their outdoor furniture. And it's so easy and so cute and so accessible.
And I have yet to pull the trigger on a new couch because Article has so many beautiful ones. Do I get the Sven in Neptune Blue or Pacific Blue?
Oh, tough choice.
There are way too many choices.
I love how Article's team of designers focuses on beautifully crafted pieces and are inspired by a variety of modern design aesthetics.
It's fast and affordable, too. You save up to 30% over traditional retail prices. And Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Go to article.com/OC and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/OC to get $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Well, let's get into this episode.
Yes, because it's the Malpisode.
Yeah.
How many times can we say the Malpisode?
After Lindsay moves away to Chicago with her mother, Ryan is heartbroken and Caleb's confused. Seth, Summer, and Marissa invite Ryan to the local mall to get his mind off things. But things take another turn when they get stranded in the mall after hours. Meanwhile, Caleb tags along to vent his frustration when Sandy tries to make amends with Kirsten by searching for her wedding ring or even a grand gesture that will take her back to when Sandy first proposed. Alex begins to learn that Marissa might not be as into her as she thought. Also, Kirsten and Julie call an editor for their new magazine, Newport Living. But at the same time, Julie's Riverside past catches up to her in the form of a former boyfriend with an incriminating something. I'm not going to say what until we get to it.
Wow.
Malpisode.
Directed by Ian Toynton, mm-hmm. written by Stephanie Savage. Again, the air date was March 10th, 2005. And so Stephanie, our lovely producer,
love
writer.
Mm-hmm.
She sent us some notes.
She sent us some really interesting notes, actually. She said something that I thought was really interesting because I remember loving... I love this episode, and when Adam was on, he did say that he was like, "Oh shoot, we're at a mall." But I've noticed just
like it was the Jump the Shark episode. Was that the?
Well, there were some people. It wasn't received super well, and Stephanie said that the message boards didn't have a positive response to the episode. That people thought the premise was silly, and it didn't feel good in the moment. But since it's aired, this is what Stephanie's saying. I've discovered a lot of people liked it, especially younger viewers. People have come up to me and said, "You wrote my favorite episode." And I've been like, "Oh, thank you. Yes, Chrismica." And they're like, "No, the Malpisode."
I love hearing that. I thought it was a great episode because it was a little out of our wheelhouse. You know, it's just something we didn't normally do. And I don't know, that's the great thing about television, right? It doesn't have to be so real all the time.
Right.
And I don't know, I thought it was great. And I love the chemistry between all of you at that time and the Ryan and Marissa stuff I thought was really sweet.
Yeah,
so,
I really enjoyed it. And I think she's saying, you know, it was their chance to kind of do what a lot of shows do when they get all the characters, like they're stuck together, so they have to face their things.
Right. The Rainy Day Women was so epic that this was kind of the reset episode with not a lot of storyline, just getting the core four back together again. I personally, my note was, it was a warm and fuzzy episode. It's also Stephanie's like major meta episode with all the inside jokes about, and Laguna Beach was really popular at the time.
Sure.
And there's a lot of like, we're in on the joke.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Moments for her. So I think this is her like LA episode, which is the, you know, what's the one that where you meet Grady. That one was really
the LA.
And that was Josh's version of that.
Yes.
So this is Stephanie.
Got it. So the episode opens in the pool house and Seth wants to help Ryan get out of his funk now that Lindsay's left. I mean, Ryan is really depressed.
We haven't seen him like this.
No.
Yeah, that was sad. I forgot about that when he was like covered up and was just, I remember just feeling kind of bad for him. But he always looked good in the pool house, no matter what.
I was going to say that when he actually ends up, you know, getting up to leave. And I was like, he's working out.
He's always had really good arms.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could always wear those tank tops really well.
He wore
them
well.
Simple white Hanes tee from the get-go. Yeah.
But I feel like, so, you know, I'm assuming, or it felt like it's, Lindsay didn't just leave yesterday. It feels like it's been a few days and we haven't seen him. He doesn't cry wolf. Ryan isn't that guy who's crying wolf. Like he really is sad. And Seth comes into, you know, Seth now, of course, being back with summer, everything's fine and dandy and I'm going to fix it and I'm going to do it.
Yeah, you know, he's all happy.
Yes. Yeah, so he says, Ryan's like, I gave you your space. Mm-hmm. And Seth is like, well, that's not me. Like, I'm a give you your space kind of person, whereas other people want to get in there. But it was so intense when somebody that means that much to you to turn around and go, shut up, Seth. Yeah. Like, oh, this is real. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's really suffering.
Yeah.
And then we see at the end of that scene is him throwing clothes in a suitcase and puts on a hoodie. And so it leaves us wondering, where is he going?
Well, that hoodie, is that the chino hoodie? Every time he takes off, he's like...
Yeah. And that hoodie was with him since that pilot episode. Right. We tried to keep as much from their original closets going in because, I mean, they're iconic pieces. And that was his gray hoodie. Because
it's like every time he leaves, he just goes with that hoodie. Backpack and the hoodie.
Yep. Grabs that hoodie. Then we find Sandy and Kirsten in the kitchen trying to act normal again after the whole Rebecca saga kind of wrapped up.
Oh, that's right. The affair kind of.
She just left.
She just thought, okay.
Rachel's been very upset.
Very upset. Very upset with some of Sandy's decisions.
Right?
Still mad.
Well, and it's like that idea that, you know, that act as if, you know, and it's like, oh, so, you know, we'll get our groove back. And, you know, like, you know, well, if we don't talk about what happened, he's like, nothing happened. Ooh, that's a dangerous place to go.
Mm-hmm. Sure is. And you know what else is dangerous? Her missing wedding ring.
Right.
Kirsten is not wearing her ring.
It took me rewatching the episode to remember. I didn't remember. So I was watching it almost in real time again. I was like, wait, what happened to the ring? Because I couldn't remember. So it was so happy. We'll get to that.
Yes, we will.
Well,
yes,
and of course, it causes a little... At first, I was like, "What? He can't be that naive to think that, you know, you never take that off. And she's not fibbing to me. And because it's clearly fibbing. I can see it.
obviously. I know. And he really takes her word at face value, which is okay.
Right.
Then Girl by Beck, our first Beck song of the episode, plays.
We're at the diner. As I was listening to it, I was like, that sounds like Peter.
Really?
At first, and I had to go back and listen a couple times. And I'm like, why would I think that? And there was some, he has a quality just in that song that sounded like Peter to me.
Oh,
singing,
I love that.
Yeah. And Seth and Summer are kissing and they're discussing trying to cheer Ryan up.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there was a postcard of Pisa. Don't know what that's about, but it's in her purse, right?
I do.
But no, okay, so then this thing starts that he instantly says, you know, our man is down, you know, and this whole Marine kind of theme starts about leaving no man behind and doing what Summer does. Somehow she's like, you know, we're going to go to the mall. And it's...
Oh, Summer.
But although Stephanie did make a point of saying that as a child, even if you didn't have any money, the mall was a place to go.
Everyone always went to the mall, right?
So, absolutely.
Even if you just were walking, it's to be seen, to like hang with your friends. Yeah. Mall's always a good place to go.
It was the first place I think you went more like in seventh grade.
Right.
Like the first time you could be away from your parents around.
Yes, in a safe environment, at least in the old days.
Right. Me in seventh grade, we'd go to Universal City Walk when it first opened.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That's really aging me. But when it first opened, we would go to City Walk every Friday night.
I mean, what a blast.
The first place I ever smoked pot. Yeah. Sorry, parents. It was not a fun, let me tell you, out with a lot of lights and people, do not recommend for your first time. Okay. Then we are at Alex's house and Big Talker by the Murmurs plays. Marissa has dyed all their laundry pink.
Have you ever done this?
I may have in my early 20s.
I feel like it's more like a leftover from the mid-century, you know, like, I do know that I absolutely, you cannot put white things in with just blue jeans and
with
stuff.
Colors,
they'll turn gray.
Right. Yeah.
Every single time they will turn gray. But I don't think I've ever had the pink thing.
I don't know if I've had pink. I mean, I've shrunk things.
Definitely shrunk things.
Yeah. But this is clearly Marissa has never done laundry in her life.
Right. This is an indication of her leaving her beautiful mansion, the comforts of home. I thought that was a good little storyline. I kind of liked that.
Yeah.
Out on her own for the first time, having to clean up the apartment after all, like with all the beer bottles and all of that.
Right.
Well, and Alex is annoyed and Marissa's response is get new stuff. And, you know, Stephanie did make a point of saying that they, in this story, that the storyline that they had to quickly resolve the storyline with Alex and Marissa, that they were very sad about that. I think she was offered a longer role on the show and she declined.
Okay.
So they had to wrap up the storyline very quickly and they were really bummed because it felt really fast. But it's also kind of...
But it was like, okay, real life and... Real life at 16, 17, wherever she was at this point.
Well, and as I was watching it, I was like, well, she's not leaving that soon, is she? So I don't remember exactly when she leaves.
I don't either. But we'll find out.
But it's pretty realistic where she's like, well, let's go to the mall. And she's like, I have to work. This is real.
Yeah, we have to pay rent.
Alex,
let's go do something fun. Yeah. It's the weekend. That's what it was.
Or no, she asked, let's do something fun. Yeah.
Well, no, I'll pick up some takeout and we'll, you know. Right. They're already the old married couple.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm 16 and maybe life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's starting to question the whole thing, obviously.
Obviously. In the kitchen, Caleb walks in. Sandy's under the sink looking for the missing wedding ring. Mm-hmm.
I like the clothes, by the way, of Caleb on the weekends.
Yeah, his casual attire.
Right.
He's like Ralph Lauren. I know. They were great to dress, he and Kelly both, because they were the ones in the show that were a little more, probably the most sophisticated out of everyone. You know, the more earth tones, as opposed to, like, your character was much more fun and lots of color and sexy, you know, whereas Kelly was very...
Kelly was like Harper's Bazaar.
Right,
and
exactly.
And Julie was like... What would she be like? Versace.
Yeah, right.
Or something.
Yeah.
Like
flashy.
Cavalli.
Yes.
Cavalli. Yes. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. We tried a lot of Cavalli.
Did we do
or
Cavalli?
Or Pucci. I think you did Pucci for sure.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. These past few years have been a whirlwind with so much uncertainty, anxiety, and yes, sometimes loneliness. BetterHelp is a new online therapy program that will assess your needs and match you with a therapist within 48 hours. It's not a crisis or self-help line. It's professional therapy done securely online.
The platform is full of experts available worldwide. You just log into your account and send a message to your therapist. You can also schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. That's one of my biggest things. I'm always scared of running into people in like an office. I know they keep it separate, but like, you know, you're waiting and it's a little awkward, but from the comfort of your home, I would love to do everything from the comfort of my home. But this is crucial. I have needed therapy very much so in recent years, and this makes it so easy.
So I tried therapy years ago and I didn't take it too seriously back then, but recently with everything going on in the world, I've really committed and I consistently see improvement in my overall spirit and it feels good.
Visit betterhelp.com/theOC. That's BetterHelp, and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. And we have a special offer for Welcome to the OC Bitches listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/theOC. AG1 by Athletic Greens, the category-leading superfood product, brings comprehensive and convenient daily nutrition to everybody. Keeping up with the research, knowing what to do, and taking a bunch of pills and capsules is hard on the stomach and hard to keep up with. To help each of us be at our best, they simplify the path to better nutrition by giving you the one thing with all the best things.
I love my AG1. It's the perfect way to start my day. In addition to exercise and a healthy diet of whole foods, AG1 only adds that extra touch of goodness to my lifestyle.
I love how convenient AG1 is. I am not the best at taking any kind of pill, any kind of capsule, but doing it all in one, I feel so good about it. And I love knowing that I'm getting everything I need in one little dose. It's lifestyle friendly whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, and contains less than 1 gram of sugar. No GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while keeping it tasting good.
One tasty scoop of AG1 contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food-sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, greens, superfood blend, and more in one convenient daily serving.
To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/theOC today. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/theOC to take control of your health and give AG1 a try. We're at the Newport Group.
Okay.
Right? And Julie's complaining about their magazine needing an outside editor.
She's hysterical.
Oh, my God.
In all of these things. Because, so we were just talking about casual clothes on a Saturday.
Yeah.
This is how Julie dresses on a Saturday.
Yes.
So I remember the doing one of these epic fittings with you.
Yeah.
And you actually pulling up, this is one necklace, this gold chain, and it was like 5 pounds of like gold. And I was like, this is fabulous. How do we? We had it. We were sitting on it for a few months.
Yeah.
And we figured out.
Waiting for the right outfit.
Waiting for the right outfit. Yeah. How would it work? What's this, what? And of course, it was lovely for sound.
Right.
They were not happy. But in fact, on the on your website, on the OC website, the OC Insider, you did a video where you picked up that necklace and said, and look at this fabulous necklace.
Oh gosh,
we have this necklace
that.
For Julie. We're going to use it one day.
That's coming back to me. That's so weird. Like, it's weird how these things come back to you. Now that you've told me that, I do remember that. Because we had a lot of like kind of behind the scenes stuff of all of your closets, the gold room, all of that.
But it's so funny how you get hooked, you get like focused on one thing, like the Todd's boots, those furry boots that I wore. And that I was like, how are we going to, you know, feature these things.
Right. Yeah.
But I used to get really into that. So
that was fun. Your character was fun.
Very fun.
Yeah.
You did look fabulous.
Well, thank you.
And there's a man named Lance there, played by Johnny Messner.
Johnny Messner, yeah.
Messner.
But Messner. Yeah, Julie's like, who's the mystery man?
We're going to find out.
We'll find out.
We're back to the kitchen.
Okay.
Caleb's going on about losing Lindsay. Seth enters the pool house to find a note on the bed. He runs into the kitchen, grabbing the car keys.
And takes off. Not after you've got to make some plumber crack jokes. That happened.
Seth does?
Sandy did. He's like, I get it. Plumber crack. And Seth goes, he's like, not impressed with it. He's like, yeah, whatever, Dad. But Caleb being sad over Lindsay's hysterical, like never mentioning Haley again. And then he cries over peanut butter commercials.
Well, right. I guess Lindsay's more impressive than Haley.
Well, he's known he had a daughter this whole time.
That's true.
And then all of a sudden he's like, but
the whole thing between Caleb and Lindsay and how Lindsay's automatically like, my dad, like it's just been not sitting well with me this whole time. She's so weird. Mm-hmm. But they played it off well because she really made it clear that she was longing for a dad and all that good stuff.
But I'm kind of here for the Caleb Sandy thing. It feels like now that they're not, that this whole thing's resolved, now they're kind of acting, they're not acting like father-in-law and dad. They're actually buddies.
Yeah.
And at first I'm like, why are they sharing like this? But it's kind of fun, you know, to see them going through this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was also another soldier reference, you and the latrine soldier. I was like, okay, this whole military thing.
Yeah, I wonder. Stephanie didn't mention the. Yeah. Military references. TKO by La Tigre plays. We're in Alex's apartment. Marissa's cleaning up. Answers the door to Summer, not the tattooed man looking for rent. Summer invites Marissa to go to the mall.
I love Summer's, like, it was her very kind of vague way of throwing a tiny bit of shade. I'm sure you have some, like, really edgy, cool plans with Alex, but do you want to go to the mall? And she's like, yes.
Yeah.
She's dying for it.
She's like, some normalcy. Thank God. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, Marissa's top is very risque. With
when I was watching the episode, I was like, wow, we must have put topstick.
Which is double-sided tape.
Yeah, which is double-sided tape. And we do that to hold things into place. It's the only thing I can
ascertain. Or not, because it was pretty revealing.
It was really revealing.
Yeah, I was wondering if we were going to have a little slip action.
Yeah, I remember those tanks at the time were really big. I think those were from Planet Blue. They're really beautiful tanks. So tank tops came in and then having like something on it.
An embellishment.
An embellishment of some sort. That was like a big thing. I think her jacket had...
It did.
Something on it as well. Yeah.
But I think that was a very deliberate outfit for that to show the juxtaposition of what Marissa represents in this apartment.
In this apartment.
Messy
apartment.
This kind of fancy shirt.
Yep. Really beautiful shirt, beautiful jacket, and just sexy.
Yeah.
She's, you know, trying to show it all off.
Yeah. She looked beautiful.
She did.
I liked her hair that short. Although Julie's hair is extraordinarily long.
Yeah, your extensions grew.
Oh. It got really long. It was a little much.
I had bangs somehow.
Yeah. You probably had it trimmed and then... Cindy did hair, though.
I remember that being very in. I didn't know you had extensions. Did you have extensions?
Oh, yeah. You did? It was a whole thing. And then you'll see in the next season, both Kelly and Misha get them, too.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, wow. we all started getting them. I never had extensions on the OC. You were low maintenance. Extensions at that time are super high maintenance.
I don't remember that, but I do remember that you guys would, or I don't know that you all did, but I remember the cast would go and get spray tans. Next door, there was like a, for people to be able to stay tan because we were in the OC.
Right.
I do remember that being a thing. I don't know how long it lasted. Maybe it didn't last that long, but I feel like I remember that too. People would go get spray
I did it in the beginning and it was doing nasty things to my skin. I stopped.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I remember Cindy, our makeup artist, just painting me with bronzer.
Right.
But not the spray tan. Okay. So then we find ourselves at the bus station and Ryan is trying to take a bus to visit Lindsay in Chicago.
I thought I'd just show up for the weekend. It would take you the whole weekend to get there.
On a bus. I know. I was thinking the same thing. Drive to Chicago on like a Greyhound? That's going to take you a minute, dude.
It ended up being such a very sweet scene, though. It's, you know, Ryan, he was coming across as this kind of little boy lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Seth actually saying, maybe she needs some space. And he's like, oh, really? You think? Yeah. And he's like, come on, just give me 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love the fact that you see some military and over, because I saw it on the subtitles, it says next bus for Camp Pendleton.
Oh.
And Seth goes, I'm saving Private Ryan, which I believe military talk was just so he could say that one line.
I believe it. I think you're probably right. Yeah. Okay.
Which is very cute.
So he's always said, we're going to the mall. Now we're at the mall. Now, I'm pretty sure this was at the Topanga Mall, but not the mall across the street where there used to be either a Macy's or some kind of department store. I believe that is where we shot this.
I was trying to remember that.
I'm pretty positive.
As well.
I know it's Topanga, and I think it was just the department store.
Was it? Oh, it was the Macy's.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it was definitely the Macy's.
Which isn't there anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Now they have this whole outdoor shopping mall out there.
Yes, but now it's completely coming back to me. I remember it was right off the freeway there. Yeah. That Macy's right there.
Yes.
I love when you actually pull up that you hear Marissa say, home sweet home.
I relate. Listen, being like locked and trapped in a mall overnight sounds very fun.
Right?
It does.
I mean, you can't get anything. So, but I will say, and I think I've said this before, but my one memory of us shooting at this location, I know I've said it, right? Was when Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston announced they were splitting up. And I remember us waiting to shoot. They were setting up a shot and we heard this. And I think I like cried on Adam's shoulder. I was so upset.
Is it that long ago?
And Adam had worked with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie on Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, he was there.
That's where it all happened.
Yeah.
Right?
We were grilling him. We're like, were they together?
Well, Adam told me, he's like, look, if it was me and we were together, you would not be okay with what I saw.
I'm not saying that they did anything,
but I think they were very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
There was some chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chemistry.
Oof. Yeah.
That's my memory from shooting the episode. Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
We spend so much of our life on set that most of our memories are on some set of some sort, right? I feel like all of these big memories, I can remember what set I was on.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do remember this episode very, very clearly. But for some reason, I had it in my mind that you guys were at it's that Sherman Oaks Mall. It's not the Westfield, but you were not.
No, we were not. That's my mall, by the way.
That's my mall.
Fashion Square.
Fashion Square.
Sherman Oaks, yeah. Grew up going there. My great-grandma. It was an outdoor mall when I was a kid.
Was it?
There were pigeons.
Yeah.
It was like the koi in the ground and this like fish tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Now we're at the mall in the
storage room because they're there to get clothes for the women's shelter. Is the whole ploy to why they're at the mall to collect these clothing. Now, the girl that lets us into the backstage area, I'm looking at the screen and I'm like, is that Amber Heard?
It was Amber Heard.
It is. Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She was just starting out and she is the lady who lets us into the storage room.
I was wondering who that was. I just could not, and I should have just looked at the credits, but yeah. Oh my God. I know. We had a lot of people pop through on that show.
Yes.
Right? A lot of people.
A lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That she says something about a jacket needs to be murdered or something. She has some kind of snarky.
She has some kind of remark. Yeah. Yeah. And then she says the mall's closing early.
Good to know.
Good to know.
But there's also this thing where I think that something starts happening where you guys start, Summer and Seth are just like making out. When he's like, oh, so cute. Everything she says, he goes, oh, so cute.
I know,
and then you
we're
make
annoying
out.
As shit, man. But yes, we're being all lovey. And then Ryan and Marissa are there like, do-do-do. What?
But we should comment. What? Actually, one of my favorite things is what you're wearing. That red velvet kind of cap sleeve blazer.
Yeah, it's like a little
blazer.
Cap sleeve blazer with a little tank underneath.
I think I had that in green. Yeah. And I have a picture of it. Yeah. Or something similar.
Yeah. I loved it. It was like a little short sleeve blazer. It was so cute. Little puff sleeve. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
So and then cute. The layers that Adam wore. He wore a lot of layers.
He
lots
did
of layers.
A lot of layers. And everything was very fitted on him. I remember he liked that. Like, I remember in the fittings, he would say, want stuff to be
fitted.
So that's what we did.
He
yeah.
liked the slim.
And then like always like a t-shirt
he
over something.
He wore my jeans often. No, I'm just kidding.
And yeah, what did his shoe wear? He was always, well, originally in the Skechers, the Vans, the Chuck Taylors,
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Who had
not
a lot?
Skechers,
I know,
fans,
I know.
Yeah.
I know I had a lot to say about what I wore. Like, it really helped me. And then I know there's some people that.
Yeah. Who were the most opinionated about their outfits?
Melinda, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Probably the most. And. And then Kelly, extremely opinionated. You were always super cool. You were always like, just whatever you want is good. Misha was pretty chill. Adam definitely had an opinion.
Ben wanted In-N-Out.
Wanted In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Yep, totally. Peter always loved his fittings, I felt like. He'd sing in the fittings. And he came up with, because he wore a lot of suits and ties, he'd always have his tie loosened because he wanted that to be kind of like a surfery sort of vibe. Mm-hmm. So I always loved that. So his ties were never done up. They were always just a little bit loose. But people were pretty good for the most part. But I just remember our fittings were always very epic.
They're fun.
They were fun.
Like,
yeah.
Opinionated, but in a
fun way. Getting
in
a fun way.
Not in a negative way.
No.
But
no.
It was more like building the character because she was such this character that was bigger than life.
Yeah.
And we definitely progressed with you.
Yeah, we progressed with you through that season. We really took the look in a little bit of a different direction, if I remember, which was really fun. Like I remember you and, oh my God, is the Dior bikini that you wore?
Oh, for the first season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No,
it was the beginning of this season.
I think it was
What am I talking
but
about?
But I just remember like that for
I
me.
I still have it.
Yeah, because it would like.
There we go again. How did Mindy wind up with all of the clothing?
Klepto.
I tried to do a turban on that. Remember that? Yes. And
because
it was written
in the script and I put it on and I went up to set with it. We told the story and Michael Lang, I was like, we can't do it. And he was like, come on. So I showed up on set with it. And he was like, I have a big forehead, a six head, not a five head.
Oh my God.
Just didn't look
we
right.
tried. We tried. I know. We had some hit or misses, right? But we loved it all.
Oh my gosh. That's
At
so
least
funny.
You were willing to try it all.
Yeah. I think with fashion, you have to.
Absolutely.
With that, you just need to like really put yourself out there. Yeah.
All right. We're back at the Newport Group.
Okay. So, but Kirsten and Julie, they're looking at, okay, I guess if it's good enough for Oprah, it's good enough for Julie. She's like,
Oh, that every cover is
she's
your
like,
face?
She says, what about the beach or Newport? And Julie's face is like, why? They can go to the beach?
That's so funny. You're like, that every picture, every cover of the magazine is going to be you.
This is when the character was just getting... So, like, in her own world, and this Carter. So then Carter comes in,
played by Billy Campbell.
Yes, love him.
Yeah,
we had
great.
So much fun with him.
I'm gonna say this every time he's brought up, but he played the Rocketeer,
right?
Which my dad wrote.
Yeah.
Oh. So I guess I met Billy when I was a very young kid. He will never remember, but like I was on set and he was the Rocketeer.
That's cool. Love stories like that.
I have a feeling that trivia nobody's put that together yet.
But, the Rocketeer?
Well, just we're debuting that now, or you said that here now.
I feel like I've said it.
Yeah.
I say things. I repeat myself because I don't remember what I say.
Talking to him. Yes.
Me too. Okay.
So he comes in, and I think this is, my note is great casting, and he's a fun guy for Kirsten to have fun with. And
there is some good chemistry between those two, for sure.
He's almost like a taller Sandy.
Do you remember what Kelly said about working with Billy?
I think she had a lovely time.
I feel like they got along too.
Yeah, we had a lot of scenes together. It was, he's a fun guy. And the
he's like a Tate vibe. Yeah.
Very much so.
Like that fun.
Kind of, doesn't take life too seriously. And a lot of, which is very, very refreshing in Hollywood. But there's some great dialogue in this scene because Julie's instantly, you know, she's like, I can edit the whole thing myself. I don't know who she thinks she is. But he's like, look, I didn't want to be here any more than you want me here. So I'm just going to come in and you guys do it. I'm going to show up. And who wants a cocktail? But he says something that's super funny. He goes, look, I'm not that interested in mucklucks being the new Uggs.
And Julie goes,
he's right about that. Write that down. And I'm like, mucklucks have been around for years.
Yeah.
But was it true at the time?
Yeah. Wasn't it?
I don't know. I'm going to say that it wasn't. I think I had an issue with that at the time.
Really?
Because I remember thinking, no way would a muckluck come back. I just remember thinking, mm-mm.
Because I wore them at the stables.
I feel like they did. Aren't mucklucks like moccasins?
They're mucklucks. They're for like, I wore them at the stables when I was younger.
Really? Maybe I'm picturing the wrong thing.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a slip-on kind of muckluck. Yeah, it's definitely not, it's not like the cool,
I'm
like,
picturing the like kind of minute, the knee-high, tonk, whatever,
not those.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, totally.
So, you know, Uggs got a resurgence because we've discovered, somewhat because of Misha wearing them in the first season.
Well, yeah, I discovered Uggs with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, and then it went on, and then Misha wore them on the OC, and that's when it really like exploded. And when I say at that time, I couldn't give Ugg boots away to anyone until she wore them.
Wow.
And we had boxes in our Uggs Australia just sent us boxes and boxes. And then once they were on camera with her, it became like the beach chic thing, right? Because the thing behind Ugg boots is that they keep you warm in the cold and they keep you cold in the warm. So, and that's what the lining is made for. So they're really were practical, but then they became a fashion
statement. All the surfers wore them at my school.
I don't remember if it was you or what season that platform Uggs were made for me for when my feet didn't show, but I needed my height.
I don't think that was me.
I remember I had them throughout the series.
I remember them.
Maybe
like
it was
what
Nicole's idea. Maybe.
For your height?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we always had height issues with you and Misha.
Yes.
Like, I remember we always
She's
kept her in flats.
She's much taller than I.
Yeah. And that's a big reason we always kept her in flats, too.
With Ben, too.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Not that Ben's short, but just Misha's very tall.
No, but she's just very tall.
Yeah.
Right. So we had to always keep her in flats. And then we added some height to you, to Ben's boots, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, in subtle ways. And sometimes we put soles in that would give you an inch, things like that, to help with that height difference. So you didn't have to worry about standing on an apple box. Or
right,
or that.
You know, cameramen would often put a ramp down for me, so like I'd walk into a scene and I'd walk up. But I mastered the art of like not being able to tell that I'm like walking up a ramp.
Up a ramp. I know there's all those little tricks,
all the skills you learn. That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Sandy and Caleb are now drinking at the bar in the Cohen house. I know some people don't know where this is, but this is the new bar for season two.
There's a very special alcohol.
It's the rum?
Featured. Star African Rum. So one of Josh Schwartz's best friends, Swifty.
I remember
this is our
that.
Shout out to Swifty.
Yeah.
Had this rum. Star African Rum. It was like a triangular red bottle. All of us
that
got gifted it many times.
Oh my God, I love that.
It was Swifty's rum.
Oh my gosh.
Stephanie wrote it in.
Swifty's rum.
It got a little shout out. Star African Rum.
Yeah, he says, I didn't know you were a rum drinker. And I saw the bottle and I was like, how does that familiar? Thanks for reminding us, Rachel.
Yeah.
You remember things.
I remembered that.
Yeah. So Sandy goes about, and this is why I think this is, at first it's like, just seems ridiculous that he would share that I hurt Kirsten. And he's like, what do you mean? And he says, well, there was this woman. And he's like, you had an affair? And he's like, no, but she meant something to me. It's a different level. And at first I was like, why would Sandy share with his father-in-law? It seems totally wrong. However, Caleb just had this huge, huge thing that happened. And Sandy mm-hmm. was there for him. And yeah. ultimately, they're sitting together and he feels like
they're just in a different level
mm-hmm. now. They're mm-hmm. different in a different way where Sandy feels yeah. like he can say this to Caleb. And he's yeah. already, but he's being vulnerable with them. So Sandy's being vulnerable yeah. in return.
In return.
So
yeah.
I think that's kind of where I figured out. Mm-hmm. Figured that he would share with his father-in-law some pretty intense stuff. But of course, they've lost the ring. He talks about this plastic ring that he won for the, mm-hmm. in an arcade.
In San Francisco, was it, or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really sweet. Yeah. And so they both get the bulging eyes because they have an idea.
Yes. Next, we find, I don't know yet, Alex's apartment. Alex walks in looking for Marissa. She has the takeout, like she said.
But the apartment's in the same disarray mm-hmm. as
yeah.
it was.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
feeling sad for her.
Yeah. Marissa's being a little shitty towards Alex.
Back at the mall.
She calls herself, but no answer. Okay. And we're back at the storage room. Seth and Summer making out again. I mean, geez, get a room, people. Not a storage room.
Well, she goes, don't. It's crepe. I might break out. And he goes, aw, crepe.
Really? Yeah. I guess I didn't hear that.
It's so cute.
Everything is so cute. Yeah. Marissa is talking with Ryan, asking how he's doing. Lindsay leaving. They have like some real moments we're seeing with Ryan and Marissa. Mm-hmm. And Marissa shares she's thrilled to get out of Alex's. So there's a little trouble in paradise there.
Yeah.
Seth tries to open the door. They're locked in.
Uh-oh.
No cell service.
He goes, call someone.
Yeah.
And you go, hello. It was on the cell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did laugh at that. And then they're going to try to pick the lock with a bobby pin. I laughed when Seth automatically just gives it to Ryan. He's like, you're just assuming I'll pick a lock.
Assuming, it, bro.
Yeah.
Why do you automatically funny. Think it?
Yes. Oh, my God. And seeing the old cell phones, too. Oh, my God. The old flip phones.
I miss yeah. a flip phone.
I know.
So they can't get out and they notice a vent.
This little like, what about over there, guys?
That's always tough to play as an actor. Like, just see that and get the idea, the light bulb moments, and make it real. So there's a vent. I'm like almost 100% sure we built these vents on set.
Oh,
I think
course.
We did. Yeah. Yeah.
They're
yeah.
huge.
We definitely did. They're huge. They were definitely on
And they're
on
very
stage.
Clean.
And they're very clean. Yeah. Yeah.
And we had to crawl in them and cameras had to fit in there. So these were on stage.
Of course.
And Ryan and Seth are crawling in the vent.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan apologizes. And Seth falls through the vent, which also made me laugh. And then we're back in the storage room yeah. with Summer and Marissa. And Summer is telling Marissa that she feels connected to Seth. So it's opening this whole conversation.
Finally, because we don't have mm-hmm. that. I feel like we haven't had enough Marissa-Summer conversations, and we're kind of getting back to that. And this one just feels really real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's talking to her, and then she's asking her, like, basically, yeah. do you ever, or well, Marissa says, I haven't felt that way towards anyone except Ryan, basically.
And right. he overhears her, right?
And he's listening. We yeah. don't see. So Ryan is in the vent, mm-hmm. and he's hearing their conversation. And Summer asks Marissa if Marissa misses Ryan.
Mm.
And when she says every day, that really got me.
Yeah.
She did a really good job with that delivery, too. It got yeah. me.
Well, and you feel like since, you know, when in season two, at the beginning of season two, when he came back mm-hmm. and he was all excited and she was kind of torn because she was
DJ,
even though because of DJ.
Oh,
and
right,
she ruined
DJ.
It, and he was, yeah. and Ryan was pissed.
I would have been too.
And, but she's kind of. I feel like she's like, I feel it. I can't help it, but I'm getting on with my life because right. There's just too much there. But remember in the diner of this episode, Summer actually said, Ryan and Marissa suck as a couple. She said to, and but now yeah. she's like. Have you ever, like what a girlfriend right. does, have you ever thought about getting back
of
together?
Course.
Of course, every day.
It's what we do.
So,
but yeah, she says every day and Ryan hears it.
So there's, of course, and then
Seth comes back in
mm-hmm. and he's like, and hey, Ryan. So there are these classic things that for people who are watching this, they're like, mm-hmm. oh, there's a vent, just like Die Hard. He happens to hear it. But this is when we have to go suspension of disbelief, mm-hmm. movie magic, these things that happen.
Sure.
I'm a sucker for yeah. all the cliche, sappy,
yeah.
whatever. I yeah. love it.
There's a reason this is not done. This is done on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason these things work
yeah.
in
yes.
television.
Of course. Yeah.
They feel comfortable.
So, yes, Seth opens the door. So now we're in the department store. I remember being in this department store and there were like beds everywhere. And I was like, this is...
Yeah.
I remember like walking around, like perusing. It was great.
And you actually did shoot because obviously they didn't close down.
We must have shot at night.
We did.
It was a night shot, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't.
It was probably Friday night into Saturday, if I had to guess. Yeah. That's when we always did our nights. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Because it definitely was not open.
Yeah. So you probably started at 6 and wrapped at 6 or 7 a.m.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Summer is saying that it's her ultimate fantasy. I can relate.
But I love this when she says, you know, so they actually get out, right? And
yeah, they're in the department store.
They're in the department store and she's saying it's her ultimate fantasy. And she's like, because they said, let's find an exit. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're trapped. They're like, we can get out of here and you convince them to stay. But you're the line of like, come on, it doesn't open till 10. We'll be gone before then. We can get McMuffins.
Right. That's right.
Because by the way, McDonald's forever, you could only get breakfast until 10 a.m.
Right? Right? Exactly.
It was a real thing. So
I
like,
think it's still that way, right?
No, I believe.
Now it's every day, like all day probably.
Maybe
nowadays.
They changed it. It was a new thing relatively recently.
Yeah.
They decided that they would serve breakfast. I don't know if it's all day, but past 10 a.m. because it was a thing. If you're up early enough, that's what you do.
That's what
How
you
many
do.
Times have you raced McDonald's for that McMuffin at 9:59?
God damn it. 10 a.m. It's like hotels when you're like, right? I gotta wake up to get breakfast room service or else it'll be done by 11. It's a stress.
But it's a cute...
I have some Cohen in me, clearly.
But my note was, it's a really cute way to get the core four together again.
Yeah.
Yes. It just felt nice.
Yeah.
These next shots of the core four calling their respective parties. You just see their feet under the dressing rooms. Or at least, actually, Ryan doesn't have to, but Seth, Summer, and Marissa.
Yeah, and we knew who they were by their footwear, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that I was in these, like, tall, high-heel suede boots.
You wore those a lot, I remember, over your jeans. Marissa always had the flats on with her wide-bottom pants.
Yeah.
There was an episode recently where I had those boots on, and I had, like, khaki pants on with them. And, like, a turquoise top.
Yeah.
It was, you know, quite the statement. White to the statement. Those times.
Those times. Yep. Yeah.
That was the, and you were wearing it with Marissa's skirt that Lindsay commented on. Remember, she was like, that's quite a skirt.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
I know. We did like those kind of knee length skirts on Marissa.
Yeah. Our producer Diana's been asking you about those knee length skirts.
The knee length skirts. Yeah.
She was like, they were matronly.
But yeah.
I know. Some of them were.
And they were in at the time.
They were in at the time. And because Marissa was so tall too, we had to do a little bit longer because we had to hit her knee with it. And that was the length that was in at the time.
Oh.
So I always tried to make them a little interesting with the top half. But yeah, she wore them a lot with the Izod polos and whatnot. But yeah, those are the skirts. I know. So random to look at it back at it now. But yeah.
For sure.
It's super fun.
So okay. So they're in the mall
What do they say? So for you, everyone lies except Seth, who goes, oh, Dad, we're locked in a mall. I'm going to use a credit card. Which kind of tells us.
You have to appreciate it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the parenting, I guess most of us would maybe fib, but Marissa's not talking to her parents. She's fibbing to her girlfriend.
To her girlfriend, yeah.
Then Summer has an idea. Hmm. They all grab hockey masks, pucks, and skates. Which Macy's or department store has hockey gear?
Well, and all of a sudden, so this was funny for me because I actually had my memory of this show when I turned it on and I was watching. I had this memory of all of this happening in a really big mall, and the hockey ends up happening in like a smaller, almost like a Big Five.
Right, it's like
feeling.
Sports chalet or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't
chalet.
Know if those exist anymore.
But I love that Ryan is so funny. He's like, what, you're going to kill us with a chainsaw?
Yeah,
she puts the mask on. So obviously, I don't know if they wrote the masks in because we had to have stunt doubles.
Yeah, I think that was
we skating.
Did that.
Even if we wanted to, they wouldn't have let us.
Right.
No, and you all had stunt doubles. And I remember having to source like jerseys and multiples. And then we couldn't use any names on them. So we had to just put letters on it. So then it seemed kind of weird. I hated that at the time because then it just doesn't look real.
Right.
So it was, that was a little bit tough. And then we ended up doing, I think you were in pink and Misha was in like pale blue. I don't know. It was just odd.
Yes.
Yes.
But quite the
and
costumes.
Then the helmets we had to do because we did have to stunt double you guys.
Right.
So I think that's probably where that came from if I had to guess.
Yeah, that would make sense. Because they never let you do anything.
And also, it's an important music moment that Ypres by Beck plays. And I have a feeling it took a long time to shoot all this.
I would think that we probably finished and then they shot all of that with the stunt doubles, would be my guess.
Probably.
But because there are shots of us, you know, with our mask off. And I'm like, Summer's really into this game.
She reminds me of Monica in Friends.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's almost like Seth is like, come on, we're going to play sports. Yeah. Like it's a new
thing.
He hasn't seen this. And we haven't seen this.
Yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Now we have another Beck song playing.
Que onda quiero. Quiero. Que onda quiero.
Yes.
Can you say that? No, sorry. Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
Julie, Kirsten, and Carter come into the restaurant. And of course, the mystery man from earlier, Lance,
he's sitting at the bar.
Yep. And Julie instantly does like, I'm going to the bar.
Yeah.
And Kirsten says, Pinot Grigio. But we learn that, you know, what are you doing here, Lance? She goes into that deep line. And we learn that he was her, quote, first love. And she goes, not my first love, just my first.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of Southern comfort involved. And last time I had to drink cranberry juice for a week.
A week after. Yeah.
So you gave me a UTI, motherfucker.
So thanks for that. Those are fun.
But, he slides her this object and says, how much is this worth to you? And
we don't know what it is. It's in a paper bag.
What did I ever do to you? I have daughters. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know. And Johnny... He we had a lot of fun, but he's kind of an intense actor.
Yeah.
He's got those like piercing eyes.
Yeah.
So all we know
he means business.
All we know is that it's enough to make Julie kind of walk and say, I've got food poisoning, gotta go.
You had to end the evening.
Yeah.
You're done.
You were done.
They're done.
We're back at the mall and there's a fake campfire and camping set. This is really cute, actually.
That actually was really sweet. I thought that was one of my favorite parts of the show. And they're all camping out.
Yeah, they're all camping out in the mall. And one thing I haven't been talking about that much is the postcard that's been in Summer's purse the whole time. You mentioned the Leaning Tower of Pisa postcard.
And Seth keeps
eyeing it. Like, what
eyeing
is
it, yeah.
Yeah.
He's clocking it.
He's clocking it. So he sends Summer off to get more faux fire logs.
Which... faux mache.
Whatever.
And she goes, but she's like that moment of like,
huh? Yeah.
Okay. Which I thought was the old Summer would have said, no, why? But she's like, okay, we're in a good place now. I'm going to just say yes. Which you
know. I think she didn't want to really know the reason. And she was like, I'm just going to do this. So she does that and he takes the postcard out and she catches him. Now let's go to your house.
What do we think about him doing that?
Whatever.
It doesn't matter.
Can we just go to this next part because it's very important.
So we go to Julie's house.
Oh my God.
Julie's
right.
Watching a video entitled The Porn Identity.
Yep. Okay. So let's unpack this. She's watching a video, The Porn Identity. As we know, Jason Bourne has no memory. And
Doug Lyman, who directed our pilot and was one of our producers. It's a little nod to Doug.
This is a nod to Doug, who directed that movie. And Mike Kelly apparently came up with the idea of Julie having a porn in her past, which is totally, I guess, a realistic idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, my personal thoughts on it were I was really, really, really uncomfortable. Mm. But
we get to see a clip of you in this
porn. Yeah, we get to do that.
You're amazing.
Yeah, you are amazing.
It's so much fun. Like, if it was me, I'd be like, fuck yeah. Like, it's what a fun thing to play.
Well, right? Yeah. And I just remember, so I looked it up again. The gentleman who was the pizza guy, Sean Cozens. I found an interview he did about it.
No.
Actually.
What did he say?
He just said it was, you know, his friends make fun of him to this day. And the person said, is Melinda Clark a good kisser? And he's like, well, yeah. But it was more that it's an interesting thing that for some reason, I personally felt uncomfortable doing it. Mm-hmm. But however, I wanted to make it realistic because it's supposed to be like however many years before.
Right.
So how do you do that?
Right.
So we came up with this. 80s thing.
80s like costume, sure. So, the headband.
So in the 80s, we used to wear headbands.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about like, I wore my hair almost like that to a prom at one point.
Yeah.
But I like to play with voice.
Mm-hmm.
So you notice like Julie does a lot of little different voices, but I purposely brought my voice up here because when I was younger, I can see myself on Days of Our Lives. I had a different voice.
Oh, that's
I'm
wild.
Much more down here.
Right.
So I was,
yeah.
So she's like, I don't know. I have amnesia. But so it ended up kind of like oddly and weird. And this is the more the tape goes on, right. You'll see more of it. But here's what I remember that Stephanie was saying that there was some criticism about the episode, but I remember being so pleasantly surprised. People loved the storyline.
Yeah.
You know what I want to say? Stephanie told us that when he shows up at the bar with the tape, Lance.
I go, what do I tell Caleb? And he says that your mom was sick and you didn't have any money. We do realize that Julie, we find out, and like Josh said last week, that we're getting more into her background and what right. happened. Mm-hmm. And she's not just, there's a reason she did what she did. And she's not, she does mm-hmm. have a heart of gold somewhere deep inside there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there. There's a heart.
Anyway, so the bum, 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 bum. Yeah. But that being said, that was that. And then this is one of my favorite scenes.
Alex opens the door.
So she just like randomly opens the door because nobody locks anything. And
report. It's not even a front door. It's just like a random side glass door.
Right.
And here she comes.
She comes.
Right. She comes in and she's like, and it's like, oh gosh. But she clocks that it's porn. She says, okay, there's porn on a Saturday. No big deal. My lips are sealed.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing here? Oh, but I did want to say that there was a shot of me watching the porn. I don't think I was acting. I was actually going.
And you're like, oh my God.
Oh
right.
My God, it looked painful. But then this scene where Julie says, it's like she's telling the truth. And she says, you know, where's Marissa? And she says, she's not here. And she's like, she was supposed to be here. And she's like, oh, she's not the only one. I'm not the only one she lies to. Have you met sullen and vindictive? And she says, no, scared and overwhelmed. And Julie says, look, I'm not saying this to be mean. And I like your pants, which I remember we didn't see them, but they were like this faux leather or they were leathered.
Again, really low waisted.
Do you remember?
Show us where the belt. Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't see. I was like looking for the pants.
Yeah.
Couldn't find them.
The crop top. Yeah. She always had
at the end,
crop,
she's
everything.
Laying on the couch in the pants.
In the pants. Yeah.
Okay. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot to look there.
Yeah.
But it was, I like the line because it's Julie's, it shows like things that are important to her.
Yeah.
And I don't know, she like softens the blow because she says some pretty intense things.
Yeah, that was an intense moment.
I like your pants, but you're this week's yard guy. Harsh.
Yes. Yeah.
And
that that she's only felt like and been in love once and he looked
and
a lot different in
a
wife beater.
Yeah.
Wife beater. Which you can't say now,
right.
But that was the line.
That was the line, right. Yeah.
And this is when I would get so excited to read these scripts and go, I can't wait to do this.
Right. Yeah.
And I remember shooting that and hanging out with Olivia that day because we didn't have that many scenes together.
Right. Yeah.
And she told me all about her prince husband.
Yeah. And she was married to an Italian
right.
prince
at
the time.
Yeah.
They got married on a bus. I remember
the
story. Okay. So we're at the mall and Ryan and Marissa are holding up the food supplies they've both found. Ryan had like a gift basket of food. She has candy and cookies.
Macaroons.
Macaroons.
Yeah.
Seth and Summer are arguing about the postcard from Zach because all Seth could see was, do you remember how hot it was?
Yeah.
And Summer, and so he's like hanging on that. Like, what does that postcard say? You know, and he's really upset about it. And Summer's annoyed that he snooped.
Well, I totally understand that. But at the same time, it's, you know, I try to see both sides of it. But is he, you know, he's insecure. He's insecure.
Right.
If Zach is communicating.
Him. Yeah.
And because I think people get insecure about the things that they would do themselves. Because he was pining after Summer when she was with Zach.
Right.
So he must be doing that back.
Yeah.
That's the only reality that's in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Noted.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Scarecrow by Beck plays. We're at the arcade. Caleb and Sandy. And Sandy's trying to win a plastic ring from the claw machine.
I love his dedication.
To show Kirsten his love. Yeah, this is very cute. More on that later. Mall. Marissa is playful with Ryan about camping at the mall. So, okay, whatever happens at the mall stays at the mall.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember what came first, the chicken or the egg. So
I looked it up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay,
so
my question was, there was a famous line from Laguna Beach, which, you know, had now aired and was super popular.
Right, yeah.
Where Kristen Cavallari's line, is whatever what happens in Cabo stays in Cabo.
Okay. Yeah.
And that became very famous. And I'm like, wait, did they put that in because of the OC or was it the other way around?
The Laguna Beach preceded. So this was commenting.
So this was a nod to Laguna them. Beach.
Yeah.
Got it.
Because
okay.
And because when you wrote that, so yeah. I was like, oh, I'm going to check this out. It pops up. What happens in Cabo? It's a famous thing.
Yeah, because it was like her boyfriend, Steven, and something in Cabo. And it was all this drama. And Laguna Beach.
So the fact that they said it, and I was like, why do they keep saying this? Yeah. It felt off. But I was
so
now,
that was
now
a
it's,
nod
a, it's a
to
meta.
Laguna Beach. Yeah, yeah, got it. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I remember like when the Laguna Beach was on and there was an episode, they were watching the OC. And it was, I will never forget it. They were like, oh my God, I have those jeans. I have that handbag. And really? They were, all the girls were watching the show. Yeah, there's an episode of the reality show of them watching the OC. They loved it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. It just gets so, it's confusing.
Mm-hmm. It's confusing. So they're Ryan and Marissa about camping together. Ryan seems a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Marissa gets a call from Alex and she lies to her saying that she's at Summers. And then she justifies to Ryan why she lied. Marissa convinces Ryan they both can fit in the tent.
It's sweet. I mean, she definitely, mm-hmm. I think Marissa's definitely, I've got some time with Ryan. She mm-hmm. doesn't want to interrupt this little fantasy world that she's
living
in.
Her. Yeah, I'd mm-hmm. be in a tent with Ryan too.
I know. Yep. So
the whole night.
Rachel's.
Yeah, my new thing is rewatching it now.
Totally. I was always Ryan.
I'm all Ryan.
You're all Ryan now. Yeah.
Sorry.
He was
great
on that show.
He really was.
Good. I mean, everybody was. Yeah.
Yeah. He was mm-hmm. awesome. Then we see that a mall cop and manager pick up one of the hockey. It's a ball. We're playing with balls, not pucks. Okay. I just realized that. Sorry.
Yeah. It was the ball.
It was
then
the
it
ball.
Drops down.
Oh, wait.
Down the escalator.
Yeah. When you went down the escalator and I guess tripped the motion detector, which tripped the security. I guess that's the way it is now. Or that it was then.
That was like, what, 15 years ago?
That's what it was. That's the way it was then. But then I love the little record scratch.
Right.
Oh, wow. Body shimmer.
Right, at the cosmetics counter.
That's right.
They're like,
that was masks up.
It's like sparkly things. Yeah, at the mall.
That was very
summer. This is what we're supposed to be here for.
Okay, so we see that now security's on to them. Seth and Summer argue, but then Summer hears people, and Seth does these really funny hand gestures.
Well, he's like, "What?" No, you go. Shh. He's like, "Don't shush me!"
Right,
and he's like committed to being pissed off, at each other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh.
Marissa and Ryan are in the tent. They're joking about Seth and Summer being back together. They reminisce, and then Seth is like, "We gotta go.
We gotta go now."
Now, Missing by Beck plays, and we're at the restaurant, and Kirsten is drinking wine with Carter. So there's something going on here. This is where it's all unfolding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he shares about his divorce.
Yeah.
And
anytime a man is sharing about his divorce.
Yeah.
And he notices she doesn't have her wedding ring on. I think he asks, are you married? Or
she says, I am.
She said, I am. Why aren't you wearing your wedding ring? So there's that whole thing.
Right.
Right. Again, and it's like, why do you have to be? And he says, whoa, you took it off. That's a big deal. And it's, you don't have to wear a ring to be in a marriage.
No, you don't. But it is often. He does note it.
He does. Yeah. And then, of course, he says, I think this is going to be a little more interesting. But, of course, they've downed a whole bottle of wine between the two of them.
Everything's more interesting after a bottle of wine.
Right.
Okay.
But I was like, really? We just got over Rebecca. Are we doing this? It's Kirsten's turn. He does seem her type. He's a taller Sandy. Okay. Good casting. If we're going for it, we're going for it. Okay.
Yeah. No, we better be going for it after that storyline.
Right. It's her turn.
Yeah. Okay. So we think that the kids are caught. Well, we know they're not, but by the mall cop. Mm-hmm. They open it.
He pulls a gun.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
That's a little extreme. Yeah.
He pulls a gun. I thought the same thing.
But he does it in a way that actually a security guard would. Like over the arm, like there's all these like classic cliched things.
Yeah, it's funny. So then the kids, we see them running out of the mall. They hop in the Range Rover. By the way, like one car in the parking lot.
Right,
ready for them to roll too.
Yeah.
It was like parked perfectly.
Right, of
but of course, when he says we've got to go, they had time to dress the mannequins, set up the video and the TV.
Television. And they're watching the valley.
This is suspension of disbelief.
Right.
It's television magic.
Okay, so now Lance calls Julie and he wants money. And you offer $50K.
Mm-hmm.
And he says more like $500K.
He says, I can get more than that if I put it online. Yeah. And I was like, well, I don't know about that. But then I was like, you know, the Pam and Tommy video had come out.
Reminded me of that as well. Because was that the time period when it was starting to happen, right?
It was the late 90s when that happened.
Oh, okay. Okay.
When that happened. But I was like, how much money could they get? Julie's not famous. And then I thought, well, how famous? I mean, Caleb being, yes, there's a little fame in Orange County, I guess. So I don't.
But I think he just knew you had money.
Yeah.
And so he's like, he was threatening you, essentially saying, right, you know, right, I'm going to sell this. And you didn't want it out on any level. So whatever it takes to get that guy paid
off.
He
knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And this is where he does say why you did the porn, which makes you have a little empathy for Julie. Mm.
Your mom was sick and your sister was pregnant and tips from waitressing weren't going to pay the rent that month.
So that was nice they gave you that backstory.
That's a good way to do exposition quickly in television. This is why.
Yeah,
right.
Or just make something up. What do I tell Caleb? Yeah, this is everything's out there, man. So you can see anything.
Seth and Summer were arguing in the car and Ryan and Mercer, of course, are getting along blissfully. They stay behind, Seth and Summer. And
there's some great dialogue, though.
Mm-hmm. There is.
Once again, that, you know, dysfunctional couple. Are we that dysfunctional couple?
Right. Yeah. All set up and no payoff.
All preparation, no age.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then so now Summer shows the postcard and it's completely platonic. What was hot? The weather.
There was something really sweet about this where it's like there's no tug of war if you drop the rope.
Yeah.
Like she's like, okay, pinky swear, let's stop bickering. Let's change it up. And it's a new level because she could have held on to the.
Yeah, she could have been. Yeah, for sure.
Totally. And when he goes, oh yeah, right. Although Zach, you know, it's like, is he that perfect?
Mm-hmm.
He's such a good guy.
So far,
we'll find out.
So Caleb, I'm guessing it says Caleb, sorry. Cohen's bedroom. I'm reading as we go, everyone. Cohen's bedroom. Kirsten shows up later than expected.
Just got to be a little boozy here. I was surprised Sandy didn't say, have you been drinking?
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But this is where he gives her the plastic ring. Now, I have a story about a plastic ring, but I don't know if this is just coincidental because I don't know if Josh Schwartz was engaged yet at this time. But so this whole plastic ring story, Josh had an engagement ring for his soon-to-be fiance that got stolen out of his car literally like the night before he was supposed to propose.
Oh, my God.
They were going to Disneyland. He planned the proposal, and the ring got stolen. So he wound up proposing with a plastic Disney princess ring at Disneyland. God. I know. And so, I asked Josh that I could tell the story, but we didn't know timing-wise. Like, I'm sure I can go back and find out, but I don't know if Stephanie was. I think Stephanie would have said, had she been inspired by that, or maybe not because it's personal.
Or is it vice versa? Was he inspired?
Right. Oh, or is it vice versa? Or if was it just like, you know, foreshadowing of what was to come?
Right. Okay. This is a mystery we're going to unfold. We're going to unpack.
Isn't that crazy?
I love that.
So I was like, if it's sentimental,
I'm still like,
about
how
a plastic.
Did a ring get stolen out of his car? I'm so stressed out by that.
Yeah,
that
I believe he left his car unlocked and it was in a briefcase in his car, if I'm not mistaken.
God.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those
things.
Well, I do think that, you know, Sandy coming up to her and saying, opening that egg and saying,
yeah,
I am so sorry I did anything to make you doubt it. He says, I love you. I'm so sorry. That is a good thing to say. I am sorry I did anything to make you doubt it.
Yeah.
But words are just words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Great apology, but
that's
apologies
right.
are just words.
Words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Now this next song, True Love Will Find You in the End by Beck is playing. I love this song and it's a cover. Stephanie said it's a cover.
Ah.
It's a gorgeous cover of the Daniel Johnson song released in 1990. If people don't know Daniel Johnson, they should look him up. It's very special. That was Stephanie's note to us.
So we're in the diner. Marissa and Ryan are in the booth. They're sitting so close. I thought it was a booth, but then I realized it was two chairs. But they're still very close together. Finally, Seth and Summer join them.
But they have that wonderful exchange of, who are you?
And then he gets
the French
fries.
Whoever you want me to be.
Oh, that's
from the
right.
pilot. A little callback to the pilot, which
and
is really
sweet. And
now
they're making fun. And it's this new beginning. And
for them.
Yeah. It's definitely a
very sweet
moment.
It ends on the four of them. And it's very sweet.
It's very sweet. Yes.
Okay. So we have a game.
for you.
If you're willing to play.
Sure. Yeah.
We're calling it Who Do You OC? So we're going to show you pictures of people in outfits, and you have to tell us who's wearing it.
Oh my God. This is going to really stretch my memory.
Okay, right here.
Oh, it has Misha.
For everyone listening, it's a yellow dress. Mm-hmm. Very poofy at the collar and very yellow. And Carla is saying Misha. And that is not the right answer.
Is it Rachel?
It is.
One of you two.
It's me.
I was going to say it's one of you
two. She was going to be
a bridesmaid.
Exact,
that's right.
Exact. Yeah. Sister's wedding. Okay, now it's a tiger print red coat. Well, it's reddish. And
oh, wow.
And knee-high boots. Long spiralized skirt.
That feels like Melinda to me, just based on the knee-length skirt and the boots.
You are correct.
Am I correct? Yay! Okay.
That's coming back from Paris.
I'm starting to sweat now.
That's okay.
Oh, my. Brown-toned poncho over red shirt.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
Oh. Ooh, I think I do.
I only knew because I have it written down. Diana gave us the cheat sheet.
Oh, I don't have the answers.
You don't?
Oh, well, I'm not looking.
Oh, I am.
I have a guess.
I have to look. What's your, okay, Carla, you guess first.
I'm baffled. Can you give me a hint?
It's a guest star, not a regular.
Okay, okay. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember.
Honestly, like if I had to guess, I know who it is, but I'm like, the Nana? Like, it's like.
I was thinking Rebecca.
It is Rebecca.
Okay.
It is Rebecca.
Kim Delaney.
Okay, next.
Oh my God. Right. Okay. Okay.
Black and white tennis outfit.
Oh, that's Julie. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that very well. By the way, you're getting all of the Julie ones right. Right? So clearly you guys had fun together.
That's Marissa. That's Carnival.
We're looking at a favorite. Multicolored like sweater denim skirt.
So cute.
Yes, that's at the carnival, the rainbow jacket.
Rainbow jacket.
We should be.
Next we have.
Oh.
Oh, right. So it's like a pink, like, wrap sweater with a purple, very revealing tank top lace underneath.
Was that Lindsay?
Yes. Okay. Good job, Lindsay.
Okay.
This is Lindsay talking to Ryan in the hallway that we commented was so sexy.
Very revealing for Lindsay.
Yes, very revealing for Lindsay at the time.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay, now we have a beret, a vest.
Yeah, that's Marissa.
Plaid
Misha.
Pants.
Oh my God, the beret moment.
So we should talk to you about that because for some reason there's a lot of chatter about this outfit and the beret or the bow on the back. I liked it, but Josh
hated it.
He has such things he gets fixated on.
That was the one thing I think. That was just one of those things that he literally, I think I got a note about that. Like, never put her in a beret again. I remember that.
We have a pink dress, like silver sparkling straps on this dress.
Going to guess that is Kelly Rowan.
You are correct.
Okay.
Valentine's dress.
I love that dress. It was when Sandy was hanging out with Rebecca and she slams the door in his face.
On
Valentine's Day.
All right. Gray tee with rainbow stripes.
That's Olivia Wilde.
Yep. Okay. That's Alex. Olivia Wilde.
That's the low, the really low-waisted pants we did her with that silver belt we used quite a bit. We always cropped her tops a little bit. I remember doing that. Yeah.
All right. Here's our last one.
I think that's Adam Brody in the wife beater that Ryan wears. Yeah.
This is Adam in the oversized wife beater.
It's Seth wearing Ryan's tank.
Yes. I'm sorry.
You did really good.
I need character names. I just don't want to go with the real names.
No, you did great. You got
that's
most of those.
Bad for like not having seen it in like 18 or 19 years.
That's awesome.
I'm glad that I did as well as I did.
You did great. You got how many?
I got 8 out of 10.
That's great. 8 out of 10.
I'll take it.
That's great.
I love it.
Well, this was so much fun going over this episode with you and
reliving. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's just nice to be here and to talk about it again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a moment in history that we all got to be a part of. And I love that.
The fashion moments of the early aughts.
The fashion moments of, for sure. I love it.
Well, thank you so much. I do remember our time together was pretty, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I did too. In the costumes that season specifically.
Yeah.
In particular.
Yeah, so. That was a good season.
Yeah.
That really,
it was a lot
really
of fun.
So, yeah.
Well, congratulations on all of your success.
Thank you.
Tune into these wonderful shows. It is so great to catch up with you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for listening. Follow, rate, and review. Welcome to the OC Bitches, wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you like to watch us, check it out on YouTube. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Close your eyes. It's time to discover what starting and growing your own business feels like. Whether your business is bedsheets or skincare, Shopify's with you every step of the way. Now, open your eyes. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/podcast22. shopify.com/podcast22.
Hi, everyone. It's Rabia Chaudhry.
And I'm Ellen Marsh.
And we have a new podcast called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. As you know, I am a very smart lawyer.
You are. You're so well-respected in the entire world. You know everything.
Thank you so much.
And as you know, I'm a famous Broadway star. Gorgeous. I sing like a nightingale.
Well, yes. At least that's what your mom says. Just kidding. This is Ellen Marsh.
And I'm Rabia.
But we are teaming up to bring you a show like you have never heard before.
True crime meets talk show. Nobody's done it. We're going to do it. We're going to do the impossible. And it's the two things that I love. Ellen, I think you'll like it too.
What? True crime and talking?
Yeah.
I'm there. Every other week, we will have a guest talking about whatever true crime case they are obsessed with. We have a list, everything from the Lacey Peterson murder.
Yeah, some of the most famous cases you've ever heard of, obviously, like JonBenet Ramsey, the West Memphis Three.
Chris Watts, Khalif Browder.
Elisa Lamb, Madeleine McCain.
Sandra Bland, the Springfield Three. The list goes on and on. But they are all cases that you know, and we are going to dive in deep with someone else and just talk about them.
No. We're going to solve the case, Ellen.
That's right. We're going to solve the case. So subscribe to Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case wherever you get your podcasts.